Bellamy, even if the legend is true, this pyramid cannot possibly be the Masonic pyramid. No. Bellamy ran a finger across the Masonic cipher on the stone. It looks to me like it fits the description perfectly. A stone pyramid with a shining metal capstone, which, according to Sato's X-ray, is exactly what Peter entrusted to you. Bellamy picked up the little cube-shaped package, weighing it in his hand. This stone pyramid is less than a foot tall, Langdon countered. Every version of the story I've ever heard describes the Masonic pyramid as enormous. Bellamy had clearly anticipated this point. As you know, the legend speaks of a pyramid rising so high that God himself can reach out and touch it. Exactly. I can see your dilemma, Professor. However, both the ancient mysteries and Masonic philosophy celebrate the potentiality of God within each of us. Symbolically speaking, one could claim that anything within reach of an enlightened man is within reach of God. Langdon felt unswayed by the wordplay. Even the Bible concurs, Bellamy said. If we accept, as Genesis tells us, that God created man in his own image, then we also must accept what this implies, that mankind was not created inferior to God. In Luke 17:20, we are told, the kingdom of God is within you. I'm sorry, but I don't know any Christians who consider themselves God's equal. Of course not, Bellamy said, his tone hardening, because most Christians want it both ways. They want to be able to proudly declare they are believers in the Bible and yet simply ignore those parts they find too difficult or too inconvenient to believe. Langdon made no response. Anyhow, Bellamy said, the Masonic pyramid's age-old description as being tall enough to be touched by God, this has long led to misinterpretations about its size. Conveniently, it keeps academics like yourself insisting the pyramid is a legend, and nobody searches for it. Langdon looked down at the stone pyramid. I apologize that I'm frustrating you, he said. I've simply always thought of the Masonic pyramid as a myth. Does it not seem perfectly fitting to you that a map created by stonemasons would be carved in stone? Throughout history, our most important guideposts have always been carved in stone, including the tablets God gave Moses, 10 commandments to guide our human conduct. I understand, and yet it is always referred to as the legend of the Masonic pyramid. Legend implies it is mythical. Yes, legend, Bellamy chuckled. I'm afraid you're suffering from the same problem Moses had. I'm sorry? Bellamy looked almost amused as he turned in his seat, glancing up at the second-tier balcony where 16 bronze statues peered down at them. Do you see Moses? Langdon gazed up at the library's celebrated statue of Moses. Yes, he has horns. I'm aware of that. But do you know why he has horns? Like most teachers, Langdon did not enjoy being lectured to. The Moses above them had horns for the same reason thousands of Christian images of Moses had horns, a mistranslation of the Book of Exodus. The original Hebrew text described Moses as having karan or panav, facial skin that glowed with rays of light. But when the Roman Catholic Church created the official Latin translation of the Bible, the translator bungled Moses' description, rendering it as cornuta esset facias sua, meaning his face was horned. From that moment on, artists and sculptors, fearing reprisals if they were not true to the Gospels, began depicting Moses with horns. It was a simple mistake, Langdon replied, a mistranslation by St. Jerome around 400 A.D. Bellamy looked impressed. Exactly, a mistranslation. And the result is, poor Moses is now misshapen for all history. Misshapen was a nice way to put it. Langdon, as a child, had been terrified when he saw Michelangelo's diabolical horned Moses, the centerpiece of Rome's Basilica of St. Peter in chains. I mentioned the horned Moses, Bellamy now said, to illustrate how a single word misunderstood can rewrite history. You're preaching to the choir, Langdon thought, having learned the lesson firsthand in Paris a number of years back. Saint Graal, Holy Grail. Sang Real, Royal Blood. In the case of the Masonic Pyramid, Bellamy continued, people heard whispers about a legend and the idea stuck. The legend of the Masonic Pyramid sounded like a myth. But the word legend was referring to something else. It had been misconstrued, much like the word talisman. He smiled. Language can be very adept at hiding the truth. That's true, but you're losing me here. Robert, the Masonic Pyramid is a map. And like every map, it has a legend, a key that tells you how to read it. Bellamy took the cube-shaped package and held it up. Don't you see? This capstone is the legend to the pyramid. It is the key that tells you how to read the most powerful artifact on Earth. A map that unveils the hiding place of mankind's greatest treasure, the lost wisdom of the ages. Langdon fell silent. I humbly submit, Bellamy said, that your towering Masonic pyramid is only this. A modest stone whose golden capstone reaches high enough to be touched by God. High enough that an enlightened man can reach down and touch it. Silence hung between the two men for several seconds. Langdon felt an unexpected pulse of excitement as he looked down at the pyramid, seeing it in a new light. His eyes moved again to the Masonic cipher. But this code, it seems so simple. Langdon nodded. Almost anyone could decipher this. Bellamy smiled and retrieved a pencil and paper for Langdon. Then perhaps you should enlighten us? Langdon felt uneasy about reading the code, and yet considering the circumstances, it seemed a minor betrayal of Peter's trust. Moreover, whatever the engraving said, he could not imagine that it unveiled a secret hiding place of anything at all, much less that of one of history's greatest treasures. Langdon accepted the pencil from Bellamy and tapped it on his chin as he studied the cipher. The code was so simple that he barely needed pencil and paper. Even so, he wanted to ensure he made no mistakes, and so he dutifully put pencil to paper and wrote down the most common decryption key for a Masonic cipher. The key consisted of four grids, two plain and two dotted, with the alphabet running through them in order. Each letter of the alphabet was now positioned inside a uniquely shaped enclosure, or pen. The shape of each letter's enclosure became the symbol for that letter. The scheme was so simple, it was almost infantile. Langdon double-checked his handiwork. Feeling confident the decryption key was correct, he now turned his attention back to the code inscribed on the pyramid. To decipher it, all he had to do was to find the matching shape on his decryption key and write down the letter inside it. The first character on the pyramid looked like a down arrow or a chalice. Langdon quickly found the chalice